Hello, I'm Jonathan Mose, and welcome to another in the series of ACB Radio's Decision 2003 series. In Pittsburgh on the 11th of July, members assembled at the National Convention of the American Council of the Blind will choose the national officers for the organization to serve for a two-year term. On ACB Radio, you'll hear the voices of those people who, at this point, have declared that they are candidates for office. It's important to stress that candidates may declare right up until the election, so we may not be able to feature all those who ultimately turn out to be candidates in these programs. Where there's only one declared candidate for office at the time that the program goes to air, we'll interview that candidate on their own. And indeed, that's the case with this program, where we're interviewing one person who's declared themselves a candidate for second vice president and one person who's declared that they're a candidate for secretary. You are welcome to call in at any times with questions. If you wish to do that, the number, as always, is area code 212-812-2800. That's 212-812-2800. We did send that out in the promotional email message for this program. When spiderphone.com, who makes all this possible, asks you for a conference code, you should enter 0480-5512. That's 0480-5512. The only candidate so far who has declared that they will be seeking the office of second vice president is the incumbent, MJ Schmidt, and she joins us on the line now. MJ, it's nice to have you on the program again.
Great to be here, Jonathan.
Well, let's start with the obvious question and give you some time to tell us why you believe you are the best person to retain the office of second vice president.
Well, probably because I've held it for the past 2 years and I've been pretty diligent in my efforts to shepherd the committees that I've been responsible for along and keep them moving and active. And I've learned a lot about the organization, although there really wasn't too much that I didn't know since I've been around since its very genesis. But I think that I can assume this office for another 2 years.
Very good. We already have a call on the line, and that comes from the 703 area code. Hello there. You have a question for MJ Schmidt.
Hi there, MJ. Was wondering, in the next couple years, clearly ACB is going to be stressed and challenged with financial concerns and also trying to become more assertive and effective when it comes to advocacy on many issues that are confronting blind people. What issues do you sort of see? I know you, in your declaration you talked about three issues, but what sort of issues do you see on the horizon as being the ones that are going to really impact blind people in the next 2 years?
Well, personally, I would like to have a more accessible cell phone, and I'm sure just about everybody agrees with that. When you don't know what's on the screens, you get lost in there. And I could remember a time when I didn't even think I ever wanted to have a cell phone. Now I wouldn't be without one. Certainly, what happens during the reauthorization of the Rehab Act is going to impact all kinds of blind people, young people seeking a college education or looking for a job, and the elderly blind people who are the largest growth potential in our population. So I certainly think we have to think about that. But when you get done with it all, it's education that's of the most concern to me. You can't build a good house without a good foundation. And whether it's in a residential school or whether children are being challenged in a public school environment, an integrated environment, they have to be taught independence. They don't need note-takers. They don't need some of the help that, when I say note-takers, I mean people to take notes for them or carry their books. They need to be self-sufficient in whatever their atmosphere is, because in the real world, that's the way it is. So I think education and rehabilitation and certainly technology. I was a systems analyst for Sears, and before that a computer programmer. And I can tell you that the computer was the best thing to come down the pike for fine people, and it still is and still can be. But unless websites are accessible and unless people are given the braille displays or the low vision aids to help them, we're going to lose our competitive edge, as I think we have all over the country already.
Well, there's a comprehensive answer. Thank you for that question. MJ, we have had a number of people emailing since I made the announcements that we'd be speaking with you today who are curious about the recent discussion. Well, it wasn't that recent, I guess 6 or 7 months ago, surrounding the Stephanie Doman complaint in Iowa. What would you like to share with the membership regarding that decision and your vote not to sign on to the complaint? People have said you're a former president of GDUI, you're a guide dog handler yourself.
True.
What was the rationale behind voting no on that?
Well, I'm sure I'm going to say all of this as many caucuses and as many times as people ask me before election. But I've been on and off the ACB board several times, from 61 to 68, and then I was a secretary till 72, and then from 80 to 90, and then 94 to the present. And without a doubt, that is the most difficult vote that I ever made. And my mind was not totally made up when I got on the call. In the first place, ACB started out as a states' rights organization. And I know we have ADA and all kinds of things today, and maybe we aren't quite a states' rights organization, but that's it was the kind of tyrannical oppression we suffered over in NFB that made us form ACB. We had an affiliate who asked us to leave this alone and until it was settled there. And then we had an affiliate who felt that we should sign on to this complaint. Now, it's always tough when you have a conflict among affiliates because, you know, we're in the business of bringing people together. We're sure not in there to make the chasms larger and open it up to problems. I felt that we had inconclusive information. I called an old friend of mine who works at the commission. She and I used to work together at Sears, and asked her about the dog situation, and she said that both her boss and she had guide dogs, and they were able to come to work every day, and nobody harassed them or gave them a hard time because they had a guide dog. At the time of the phone call, I was under the impression that Ms. Doman would have to leave the state to get her computer training. My friend told me that that wasn't true, that if she had not signed up for the whole rehabilitation curriculum again, that she could have probably gotten it right in that building, if not down the street somewhere. I asked John Taylor on the call if that was true, and he said it was. I just hated to see the strife between the two affiliates. Remembering that we were a states' rights organization, and also because I want to say this right. Because I felt she had bad professional advice. Any counselor who told her to sign up for the whole rehabilitative process again when she had been through it once, knowing that they wouldn't want her to bring her guide dog for mobility, I I thought it was just an ill-advised case. And the lawyers on the boards reminded us that we were very emotional about the dogs, but the judges are not. So my vote was no. And I, based on the evidence we had that day, I don't regret it.
We're speaking with MJ Schmidt, and you're welcome to give us a call. Just a brief reminder of the phone number, 212-812-2800, and the conference code 0480-5512. We're speaking with MJ for another 15 minutes or so. Can we talk about the function of the second vice president? What role do they fulfill in the organization, and how do you feel you can best support the president in the heavy workload that that office bears?
The officers divide up the committees. We're given a group of committees that we're supposed to sort of watch over, and that's a pretty big job. But I have enjoyed the ones that I have had this year. I've had McDaniel and Information Access and Membership. And there comes a time when some of the glow of convention and all the things that we're trying to get done fades a little and people get caught up in their home lives. And I have to call the chairs once in a while and sort of prop them up. And I think that this is something that is needed, somebody that they can, if they have some concerns, they bring them to me and I bring them to Chris. And when he has sort of slacked off once in a while, because he does have a full-time job also, I call him and get all over him to to do what needs to be done. So I guess it's just a guiding thing. But I will tell you that there's never been anything that anybody's asked me to do in ACB that I haven't done. And I guess I would like to say here that some of the people making the biggest issue of the fact that I voted the way I did on the guide dog issue were not around to know that I was a witness for the state of Missouri in two trials against an airport limousine company that was refusing to take people with guide dogs.
Okay. Our previous caller who phoned in earlier mentioned the financial situation, and it seems that there are many things that the ACB would like to do and could do if more financial resources were at its disposal. And this is a question that comes up year after year, I guess. How can ACB grow its financial base, do you think, so that this the argument is not so much about where the money's coming from, but how best to spend the money that there is?
Well, of course, you know, that's a million-dollar question. And if I knew its answer, I'd be very happy. You know, every once in a while, the board will be sitting around, as a bunch of officers will be sitting around, talking about all the ACB dreams that we all have. And they all cost money. I certainly think that we need to try to broaden ACBES. I think the store, the online store, is a good idea. There seems to be a feeling throughout ACB these days that our members should make more of a contribution to the organization than they do, and I think the M&M's program is catching on. And I think people do the very best that they can. You know, you figure the figure that we always use of 70% unemployed among the blindness population doesn't leave too many people with money to invest in ACB the way we wish that they would. Certainly, if we could obtain more grants, that would help us a lot. And if we could expand ACBES more than we have, and I'm on that board now, but I'm still learning. It's new to me, and it's a learning experience. But I don't have any magic answers for that. I sure wish I did.
Yeah, the organization is now well over 40 years old, or 42 years old to be precise,
right.
And it doesn't seem to have grown in its chief rival, as it were, has grown. Why do you think that is? Why is it that ACB is still struggling?
Or membership-wise?
Financially, in terms of getting a base to do the things it would like to do.
Well, when we started out, we believed that if we were going to lobby, there were certain kinds of grants that we should not pursue. And so we didn't. At a board meeting a few years ago, it was decided that we shouldn't pursue that path anymore. And I guess you have to talk to Mr. Crawford a little bit about what's going on with that.
Can I talk about your philosophy on the difference between governance, in other words, the role of the officers, and management? What's your view on that in terms of the respective responsibilities of staff and officers, and I guess the way that they work together to achieve the outcomes that ACB is seeking?
It's tough. It is tough. I just feel like ACB is my organization because I was down in the trenches and 58, 59, 60, and 61. And I still can remember it, so that says something. It's tough to be a staff member and a member because there are certain things that traditionally haven't been done by staff members. They sort of have stayed out of the political process. And some people think there's no reason why they should. However, staff has an outreach to the entire organization that the average member doesn't have. The very best thing is if you can work together. And I happen to feel we have a good staff, and I felt that we always have had an acceptable staff. But the role of the officers is to determine policy in the organization between conventions and board meetings, but not to change it, just to keep it going in the same manner that it's been going in. We have some great advocates now in our Washington office, and that's terrific. We absolutely have to work together if we want to get anything done. And I think that we basically are doing that.
You commented in your submission to the Board of Publications candidates page, and I highly recommend people with the web access take a look at the answers there. You commented on the three main issues facing blind people today. What do you consider to be some of the main issues facing the organization itself today?
Well, I'm going to say a very unpopular thing. But I do believe in communication, and in for so many years there wasn't enough of it. I'm not sure that the ACB list is a good thing. People get up there and they espouse their views, and then they re-espouse them. And I believe that we absolutely have to put some of these things aside and go on. I can tell you that the group that walked over to the Aladdin Hotel in 1961 didn't agree about everything. And our friends over in the National Federation said that we wouldn't last 6 years because we were so fragmented. But we pulled together at the beginning, and we can pull together now. I think there has been a has been a rift in the organization. But I don't think that we're seriously incapacitated.
What is the source of that rift?
Politics. People, you know, people, we make our own problems, I think.
Only a fraction of blind people in the US are members of any consumer organization. Why do you think that is, and what strategies need to be put in place to foster membership growth and to encourage people that it's ACB they should come to?
I wish I knew. There are an awful lot of people out there, some very good people that I sure wish we could annex. They don't belong to the other primary organization, nor do they belong to us. And they're bright, successful people. Either their lives are too full, or they may not want to associate with other blind people, although I think there are times when it does me good to go somewhere and see a lot of blind people. I always felt that we had an edge because we fostered the special interest philosophy. And that's when ACB really, really started to grow, was in 1969 and in the early 70s when the special interest group concept was promoted. You know, I think you need something else besides your blindness to bring you together. When the Visually Impaired Programmers Group was formed, the argument against it being an ACB, and they wanted it to be a satellite organization to one of the national programming groups, DPMA or ACM. And I argued at that time that that's fine. We should belong to those organizations in our city. And we should network with these people, because if we need another job, it would be nice to know them. However, when I used to go to VidPi, I'd go there to get pointers on how other blind people were doing their jobs so that I could do mine more efficiently. And I think that the greatest growth potential we have had is our special interest groups. But that doesn't really answer your question, Jonathan. I don't. No, I always talk up ACB to people who I'd like to get to come, and I always try to get them to go to a meeting or come to a state convention. Or we're making this plea in Chicago this year because the American Council of the Blind in Metropolitan Chicago is celebrating its 25th anniversary, so our state convention will be held in Lincolnwood in Chicago, the 10th and 11th and 12th of October. And we're hoping that some of the more successful Chicagoans will come to it.
Just a final question, if I may. The role of ACB in terms of its interactions with disability organizations, with other organizations of the disabled, this whole argument of cross-disability issues, where do you stand on that? Do the blind need to stand alone or become more inclusive with other disabled groups?
Well, I certainly think we need to be a part of things like Project Action and American Association of People with Disabilities and such. I think wherever we can, and we need to coalesce because we suffer from the number gap, whereas if the same problems are bothering other disability groups that are bothering us, certainly we need to coalesce with them to make a greater impact and hopefully have more of an opportunity to get what it is we are trying to get. I think coalition is good at wherever it can benefit us.
Well, I appreciate your forthrightness in coming on the program. Is there any closing comment you would like to make before we go?
I guess I want to say to the people who are out there that I realize I'm kind of public enemy number one in ACB right now because of the guide dog vote. I hope that people realize that I've been in this since the beginning, and that doesn't give me any special privileges, but I have spent a great deal of my spare time and a reasonable amount of my money and as much of my intellect as I've been able to give to you. And if you can't understand why I voted the way I did, then vote against me. I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm an ACB-er for life.
Again, thank you very much for coming on the program. We'll look forward to meeting you in Pittsburgh. It promises to be a lively convention, and of course you've got all those caucuses to go through, I suppose. Well, maybe you don't if there's only one candidate. Do you still do that when you've only got one declared candidate?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
You don't know who's going to get nominated on the floor.
Right.
And I certainly suspect that someone's going to run against me. I only wish they'd have the courage to put their name up there now.
Well, we'll follow it with great interest, and thank you again for coming on the program. We'll see you at convention.
Thanks for having me, Jonathan.
Okay. Bye-bye now. That's MJ Schmidt, who's a candidate for second vice president of the American Council of the Blind. Don't go away, because our Decision 2003 series will continue in just a moment when we speak with the only declared candidate so far for Secretary Donna Seliger.
We are the American Council of the Blind. We are blind and visually impaired men and women who come from every community within our country. We are tall, short, old, and young. Some of us are athletes, and some of us are couch potatoes, while most of us fall somewhere in between. We reflect every ethnic, religious, and racial group within our society. Some of us who received quality education and sound training are working successfully in virtually every profession. Psychologists, auto mechanics, administrators, computer analysts, cooks, and engineers. We are the American Council of the Blind, working to ensure the right to opportunity for education, training, employment, and a meaningful life for all Americans, including those of us who are blind or who have a significant vision loss. For more information, contact us by phone at 800-424-8666 or join us on our website at www.acb.org, the American Council of the Blind. Forging new frontiers for our future.
Welcome back to our Decision 2003 series. My name is Jonathan Mosen. It's nice to be with you. We're here until the top of the hour. I should also signal to you that on Sunday, US time, at 9 Eastern and 6 Pacific, we are scheduled for the presidential interview. At this stage, it's an interview because there's only one declared candidate, so we will be speaking with Chris Gray, and you will be invited, of course, to ask any questions you wish on that program. That's 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on Sunday night, the normal blind line slot, which is 1 Universal time on Monday. We're about to chat with Donna Seliger, and if you would like to participate in that, you're welcome to phone in. The number is 212-812-2800. That's 212-812-2800, and the conference code is 0480-5512, courtesy of spiderphone.com. 0480-5512. Donna Seliger is the incumbent. She is the secretary of the ACB seeking another term. Welcome to the program, Donna.
Thank you very much.
Let's start with the obvious question about why you're seeking re-election and why you're the best candidate. Can you tell us what's motivating you to seek election again?
I'm seeking re-election because I have enjoyed working for the ACB the last 2 years. I've learned a lot over the time, and I believe that I can do a good job for ACB, and that's my intent.
There is a choice of consumer organizations, of course, in the United States. What is it about the American Council of the Blind that motivates you to volunteer at such a senior level, and presumably that takes up a lot of your time?
Well, I am a former member of the other organization, and there is quite a difference in the two. with ACB. I feel free to say what I think, and I'm not afraid of being reprimanded for doing that.
So freedom of speech is a primary motivator for you?
Absolutely.
You know, I guess I should ask of you the same thing I asked MJ very early in the program. Since we mentioned that we were doing these debates, I've had many emails, at least a good dozen or more, relating to the issue of the Stephanie Doman complaint in Iowa. And, of course, you're in the hot seat because you're in Des Moines. Can you talk us through why you voted the way you did on the board with respect to that action?
I voted the way I did because the Iowa affiliate asked the ACB board not to sign on to the complaint until the complaints that were filed here in Iowa with the Iowa Civil Rights and the Des Moines Human Rights had been determined. And there were other issues. For example, I knew that Ms. Doman could have taken the two classes that she wanted at the department with a dog at her side, or there was another entity where she could have taken the classes. However, she chose to file a complaint anyway.
So I
thought that there were, you know, other alternatives than ACB signing on to that complaint.
How do we deal with a situation where two affiliates seek a very different outcome?
Well, in this instance, I think that the board did the best that it could do. It chose not to sign on to the complaint, but it also chose to support the GDUI in their endeavor to sign on to the complaint. As a matter of fact, I know that the staff at the national office worked on the wording of that complaint and had it hand-delivered to the Department of Justice. So as far as I'm concerned, we supported GDUI in as much as we could without signing ACB onto that complaint.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about the role, the function of secretary? What do they do in the organization, and how have you found that in the last couple of years in your performing of that role?
The secretary takes notes at the pre-convention board meeting, post-convention board meeting, mid-year board meeting, and any conference calls that arise throughout the year. Also, the secretary keeps a running roster of the resolutions and constitution and bylaw changes and so forth during the convention sessions. And then it's the duty of the secretary to type minutes accurately and get them sent to the board members and others as necessary. I think that overall I have completed my duties throughout the last 2 years.
If you'd like to speak with Donna Seliger, who's seeking the position of secretary for another term, you're welcome to phone in at any time. The number's 212-812-2800. That's 212-812-2800. And the conference code is 0480-5512. That's 0480-5512. This is what it's all about, your participation. So please don't feel at all backward about coming forward if you have a question that you're dying to have asked, because if you don't, I may not ask it. There are many things that the American Council of the Blind would like to do and could do if more financial resources were at its disposal. How do you think ACB can grow its financial base so it can do more of those things it so desperately wants to do?
It's a very difficult situation given the current economy. People just, you know, overall just are not as generous as they have been in the past. And I believe that if we bide our time and be frugal about what we do in ACB, that in the long haul we'll come out ahead. We need donations from our membership, our MMS project really needs to be stimulated. I think it's a wonderful idea, and I think that if more people were aware of it, they would participate. I think that the Resource Development Committee is doing what it can to come up with funds to help get the organization going and keep it going, keep our Braille Forum out there, and that is an essential part of ACB, as well as ACB Radio, and we need to keep those two entities going so that the public and the blindness community are all aware of what ACB is, what it's doing, and the good organization that it is.
As someone who's seeking a term as an officer, what's your philosophy on governance and management? You know, where does the role of the board and officers begin and end, and where do staff's role begin and end?
Well, I think the board and officers should have the final decision in policy making and so forth. The as you said, the staff are paid employees of the organization and should take their cues from the board.
And do you think that that is working successfully at present?
No, I do not.
Do you want to elaborate on that further?
I believe that the... in some instances, the staff has taken on projects on their own without regard to the board or even including the board's approval, permission, whatever.
And in that kind of situation, what remedies do you see being used to perhaps put things into what you consider to be balance again?
I think there needs to be an honest, open discussion between the board and the staff and to get all of this resolved. And I believe that it can be resolved. But I think everybody needs to know where they stand, and everyone needs to be in their own space.
You commented in your submission to the Board of Publications page on the ACB website about the three main issues facing blind people. What do you consider to be the three main issues that are facing the ACB itself at this time?
I think ACB needs to... Right now, ACB is very divided. And I think that we need to come together and be one big family. You know, as the old saying goes, a house divided cannot stand. And if we're together and work together, we can certainly cross the hurdles that we need to quicker and in come out in better shape than right now. I really feel that we need to come together as one family.
What are the causes of that division that you perceive to exist?
Well, I think the guide dog issue in Iowa is probably the biggest cause. And the reason for that is that most people do not understand the situation. Most people have not gotten the full information. They've been misled, misinformed. And I think if all the truth were out there, that people would be more understanding.
What can be done then to facilitate the communication of that truth?
Well, I think there needs to be maybe, a document or something to let the general membership know. For example, on the ACB listserv, there have been all kinds of accusations flying back and forth and so forth, but not everything has come out. And I have deliberately, as president of the Iowa Coffee United Blind, I have stayed out of the issue because I think that, you know, I'm in a delicate situation here. And I want to be true to Iowa. I want to be true to ACB. And it's extremely difficult and extremely stressful.
All right. Only a fraction of the blind community are members of any consumer organization in the U.S. What strategies should be put in place to foster membership growth and actually to convince people that when they choose a consumer organization, that it's the ACB that they should be choosing?
Well, I think that we need to borrow, so to speak, some of the strategies that the NFB uses. For example, I think we need to be more and encourage them more to come to ACB to find out who we are, what we do. And I believe that if we were more persistent, that we would have more members. Pardon me.
Are there resource-constrained issues, do you feel, that are preventing that kind of strategy from taking place, or is it more of a motivation thing on the part of people out there in the chapters?
I think it's motivation, and I think that some of the chapters just need to become more motivated. There really are some chapters out there who go out, you know, and beat the pavement and bring in new members, and it's wonderful. And then there are others who want to go out and find new members.
One of the things that has definitely set the ACB apart from the NFB is the issue of audio description, for example. And some have said ACB is not appropriately setting its advocacy priorities by placing so much attention on this issue. Do you agree with the overall prioritization of the advocacy agenda?
Yes, yes. I believe that we need to advocate for video description and for audible signals and anything that will make life better for blind people.
How much do you think is the responsibility of the blind person, in other words, to be adaptable to their environment, and to what extent should we expect the environment to adapt to us?
Oh, that's a hard one, because I think that it depends on the situation. For example, on the talking ATMs, there are talking ATMs throughout the country. Not all banks have installed them, but I believe that in time that they will. And it just took a beginning, and eventually I think that all ATMs will have the capability of having the earphone jack so that we can use them. Just like all cars now have seat belts. I mean, it just something that happens eventually. I think, you know, if we get the audible traffic signals going in the major cities, that the idea will spread across the country.
Well, that's another example, isn't it, of where there appears to be quite a bit of a difference of opinion between the two organizations over the audible traffic signals issue. Does it make blind people too dependent on these aids when, if they were given appropriate O&M skills, orientation and mobility skills, they may not need such signals? That's the argument that we hear quite regularly.
I think that in some instances, that is the case. There are no audible signals in the Des Moines, Iowa area, and there are a great many blind people, and we've had very few accidents. So in some cases, now this is not a large metropolitan area. I guess you'd call it a medium size, but someplace like Pittsburgh, for example, I think the audible signals are a necessary thing.
Can you tell us about how you like to work with others? Are you the kind of person who likes to work in a group with another team, or do you prefer to know what your tasks are and then be left to achieve the outcomes and be measured on your performance at the end of the task?
I enjoy working with a group, but I tend to take on more things for myself and try to finish the task. I know that I'm forever volunteering to do things, you know, because I want it to be done and I want it done right, so I volunteer to do it.
Right, so you're the kind of person who would prefer to take charge and see an issue through rather than necessarily delegate it.
Yes.
Where would you like to see the ACB 2 years from now, assuming that you're back on the board as the secretary and we're talking 2 years from now? What would you like to be able to say that has been achieved in those 2 years?
I would like to say that our resources have increased, that our membership has increased, and that we have the that we can celebrate that we have DBS on all the television stations, and that we're making headway with the audible signals and the detective warnings and so forth. I think that in 2 years we can make a lot of progress.
And what are you expecting from this convention? You're obviously quite concerned, as you indicated earlier, about what you perceive to be a division in the organization. Do you think that's likely to manifest itself at convention time?
I'm afraid so. I am very concerned about it. I think that it's not going to be an altogether pleasant convention. I really hate saying that.
Will it clear the air, though? I mean, do you think that once the debate is...
I hope that we can clear the air, yes. I hope that we can come away from the convention and everyone will understand and, we can all be friends again, so to speak.
Well, Donna, I really appreciate you giving up some of your evening. Is there anything you want to say in closing that we haven't covered?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for asking me to come on ACB Radio. I've enjoyed it. I hope to become the Secretary of ACB for the next 2 years. I don't know how many are out there listening, but I also want to say that chances are I won't be making very many caucuses. I've had major surgery, and I'm still recovering, and I tire easily. So I'm going to have to cut back on my activities during convention.
That's always tough. Well, let's hope that you have a speedy recovery, and thanks again for being on the program. It's very much appreciated.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye.
And that's Donna Seliger, who is seeking re-election to the position of Secretary of the American Council of the Blind, and that's where we wrap up this program for today, another in our Decision 2003 series.
Now, at this stage, there is no one who has declared for first vice president. That doesn't mean that there isn't going to be a first vice president, because I'm sure someone will come forward to fill the role at convention, if not before. If the schedule permits and somebody does declare between now and when we all head off to convention, then clearly we'll try and get them on and subject them to the same questioning that we have for the other candidates. At this stage, there is only one declared candidate for president. That is Chris Gray, the incumbent. And on Sunday evening at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, which is Monday at 1 Universal Time, we will speak with him. Yet again, we'll have the phone lines open so you can ask any questions of him. Thanks very much for tuning in. And if you're listening to this live, well, we'll look forward to seeing you over on the Mosen Explosion, perhaps on ACB Radio Interactive at 5 Universal Time, which is 1 in the morning in Eastern Time and 10 Pacific. Bye for now.
Are you having difficulty reading the newspaper? Are you experiencing severe vision loss? Or do you know someone who is? If you answer yes to any of these questions, then the American Council of the Blind can help you. We are blind and visually impaired people from every walk of life who work together to enhance our lives. For more information or membership application, call 800-424-8666 or contact us online at www.acb.org. The American Council of the Blind, forging new frontiers for our future.